Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello and welcome into the Sarcastic Remarks Studios. My name is Ryan and I am the host of Sarcastic Remarks. We are the official Dallas Stars podcast of the Hockey Podcast Network. Please make sure you use the promo code THPN the next time you go and use the DraftKings app. We appreciate them being our sponsor for our show and also for our entire network. We are back today with all three of us, finally. Y'all missed a doozy yesterday. I kind of went off on Sunday. It's probably a good thing y'all didn't watch that game, guys. How are y'all doing?
Great. I'm very glad I didn't watch that game. I would have lost my mind, I think.
I actually got to catch the very end of that game, which was...
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, that
was... I literally watched the last 5 minutes of the game, and I wish I hadn't.
Yep.
Yes, I had never been so furious after a Stars game. Other than maybe game six of the Stanley Cup final in 2020, just because we lost, not because of anything in particular. But I don't know if y'all watched the video at all, but I just about lost my mind. Just real quick before we get into this game, do y'all think that was warranted? And some people are saying, you know, oh, well, the Stars should have done better in such and such areas. And I agreed with them, but then I still said that the play calls by the refs there was absolutely egregious. Y'all agree with me?
Yeah, the Stars definitely could have done things better. They could have scored more than one goal, obviously. But Bennington was standing on his head. He had a great game. But when it comes down to it at the end of the game like that, when you have it's giving the other team a two-man advantage, and they do it twice on two terrible calls, and they don't call that one penalty, unbelievable. So I think everyone understands that the officials were terrible that game. And honestly, they were bad this game, too. I don't know what's going on with that.
And my opinion kind of on the last game was the first penalty was kind of weak that they gave on us. It looked like hooking from where the ref was. That's why he called it. Sure, fine. Heiskanen got tripped, and he got mad, and it was a really bad slash from him. Like,
tripped,
honestly.
And tripped and held and tackled.
And everything.
Yeah.
But if you saw his slash, if he hits someone in the wrist with that type of slash, he's breaking that wrist. So it was a really dangerous slash from Heiskanen.
Okay, well, he wouldn't have slashed if they called the first penalty.
I agree. Exactly what I say.
Like, I agree.
Make that play
still,
like you're supposed to, and that slash doesn't happen. You know, and I think I might have taken it a step too far now that I look back on it and everything. But the way that I looked at that was, you know, that was retribution for the entire Stars bench, basically up in an uproar, yelling at the refs saying, how dare you miss that call? And then he's like, oh, really? I missed the call? Okay, I'll call one on you again. And maybe I took that a step too far, but it felt like retribution.
That definitely was, I think. I mean, come on.
I mean, maybe even I don't think he would ever admit it. I don't think any ref would ever admit it, but even just like a smidgen, maybe like a 1%, you know,
I wouldn't say calling the Heiskanen slash wasn't the retribution. It was not calling the trip was the retribution. He was like, oh, well, then I'm not going to call any penalties for you then. So, yeah. It was terrible.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm still a little sour about that. You could kind of see my anger kind of go down as the podcast went on. But definitely at the beginning, I was sitting there yelling within the first 5-10 minutes. I was beyond frustrated. So,
well, they threw the game. They ruined the game is what they did.
Yeah.
I mean, two-minute advantages at the end of the game like that is ridiculous. That's ruining the hockey game.
We should have gotten at least a point out of that. Let's
just move on from that. Yes.
We can talk about this. Which AGR are we playing? Are we doing on this again? Okay. Anyways, guys, this is the AGR for game number 33. It's amazing. We're 33 games into the season already. This is the first official game against the Seattle Kraken for the Dallas Stars. The Dallas Stars do pull out a win tonight by a final score of 5-2. So they score four more goals again, and they get the win, which is really good. So now they're 12-1. Excuse me. They're 12-1 when they score four or more goals, which is fantastic. And this is a much better game than the way it went in the first official game against the Vegas Golden Knights, because that first official game against the Golden Knights started their Stanley Cup Finals run. So what's y'all's biggest takeaway out of this game tonight? Good, bad, negative, positive, whatever.
My biggest takeaway is the Kraken are not a good hockey team. I mean, it's pretty obvious. We didn't play a very good game, and we still beat them pretty soundly, so...
For me, the big takeaway is that we didn't let the dumb calls from the last game get into our head with how this team normally is. They go on like we saw at the beginning of this season. They lose a ton, go on like a 7-game win streak, lose a ton. It's nice to see that didn't affect us too much.
Does that comment affect you too much, James?
No. He's just trying to make you feel better. So.
Zach, for those of you that are not watching on YouTube, you're watching on the are listening to the podcast site. Our brother Zach is listening tonight. He's saying, "Thank goodness Ryan is back. Just listening to James and Chris was terrible." Thank you, Zach. I appreciate that. So, anyways, I think my biggest takeaway tonight, guys, was actually I was really curious with Gerionov being out, who would get that call up to the second line and be in the top six. And Peterson was actually the one that was chosen, which really surprised me a little bit because one, he's a rookie. And two, when he had a top six role at the beginning of the season, when Robertson was out, he did okay, but it wasn't like a ton of offense from him. But I had a lot of mixed reviews from him in this game. I think he definitely had a lot of good chances. Offensive chances. He had at least three or four that I noticed watching the game. Mm-hmm. But the other side, and this is to be expected, being a rookie in the NHL, there were a lot of defensive turnovers and just weird plays that, you know, didn't quite make sense with him. But I give him a C or a B+ with his game tonight. He did okay.
He was exactly who I wanted to see in there because, I mean, from the start of the season, we've seen he just somehow finds ways to score goals, even if he's not on great lines. He's not an assist guy, obviously. He just scores. But I thought he did really well. He had a couple of good chances. But, yeah, like you said, he does have the defensive liability. It reminds me of Delandria from last year, how, like, he gets those good opportunities, but on the other end of the ice, it's not super solid.
And a big thing with him is he really has come a long way in his defensive game this season so far. Like, if you remember him beginning of the season, I was scared when he touched the puck in the defensive end. So,
well, you know, that just comes with age. And, you know, it really helps when you play with guys like Sagan and Ben, who have been around for a pretty long time. That helps a lot. It does. And they can kind of help up mop up the defensive errors that he made tonight, and they did. They really helped clean up his game here tonight, and I'd really love Peterson to become a part of that quote unquote new core that we have, you know, with Robertson, with Hintz, with Haskinen, with Ottinger. I hope we can add Peterson to that list because he's another fifth round pick that maybe can turn into a Jamie Benn kind of like guy, and we've seen him have some kind of top six potential, and we've seen it. And he definitely can dangle. We've seen it again. So I'm really, really hoping that he can join. And I should include Gerionov in on that. I'm sorry, I forgot Gerionov because he didn't play tonight. But I'd love to see him become that part of that new core. Maybe be, you know, that second line guy that can really add in, you know, 15 to 25 goals per year. So, anyways, that was my biggest takeaway was the play of Jacob Peterson. Anyways, guys, let's go ahead and get into this game. Quick goal summary for you guys tonight. The Stars would score within the first minute again. So not Pavs and Suns, but the Minutemen take care of it. It's Hintz's 14th of the year. It's an ugly goal, but who cares? It bounces off his skate. And it's from Robertson, who takes the initial shot. And, of course, old man himself, who defies father time, Joe Pavelski. And the Stars are up 1-0 within 50 seconds of the first period.
Yep, and you can feel a goal coming, too. As soon as it stepped on the...
Oh, I think we lost Chris there for a second, but that was really weird. But I'm sure we'll get him back in a second. Oh,
hello.
There he is. Yeah, you froze for a second, buddy. Stupid internet. But
I'm so happy. Anyways,
go ahead and say what you were saying again. Go.
I was saying you could tell that they were going to score with the minute they stepped on the ice. It just they were skating fast and they had good pressure that entire shift.
And James, how did you feel about Roope Hintz tonight?
Roope feels, with how good he has been recently, it feels like he's in a rut, and he's still scoring goals in the rut. But
feels like he's in a rut? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
I don't see that, man.
I mean, well, he's getting these like breakaway chances. I mean, he had two last game. He had two in this game. But he hasn't scored on those breakaway chances.
Maybe he's starting to Tyler Sagan it.
James is mad because he's not scoring two goals a game anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Right? That's what I want. If he's not scoring two goals a game, I want him to get more assists. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, so, I think he had a 3-point night tonight. Tough rut that guy's in.
Even the terrible. Best on his line.
Hopefully he can dig out of it.
Oh my gosh. That's funny. And you know, we were all worried about that within like the first 10 games of the season. And I really think Robertson is, I know Hintz is the guy we all talk about being the, you know, the elite forward and everything for the Dallas Stars. And he's the guy that we expect to be number one and score all the points for us. But I really think that Robertson is the glue guy, because with that point, he extends his point streak to 8 games overall and 11 games at home. That is insane.
Well, he stepped up even more this season too than he did last year. Like last year, he was very good. Obviously, he was second for Calder behind one of the best Calder Trophy winners that we've had in a while. And this year, he's even taken it up to another level completely. So, if he keeps doing what he's doing, which it looks like he will, he's going to become a top forward in the whole NHL, not just on the Stars.
Yeah, no joke.
And he's easily a point per game player right now, and it's his second season.
It's a point and a half almost.
Well, and I love to see Jason Robertson play, and you know, I love the before he was even on the map in the NHL, everybody in Toronto and you know across you know most hockey media was like, oh Nick Robertson up in Toronto, and then here comes Jason Robertson, whoosh, and he's. Obviously, the better of the two brothers right now, and he's playing in the NHL. He's you know over a point per game player for the Stars, so gotta love him. About looks like 8 minutes later, Kelly Yarncroke, former Nashville Predator, of course he scores against the Stars. He gets his 5th of the year from Marcus Johansson and Jared McCann. I love Jared McCann. He's a great player. He's their best player. I wish we had him on the Stars. But that ties up the game 1-1 on a power play goal. So with that, the Stars have actually given up multiple power play goals over a course of 8 games. I believe the stat was 7-8, so that they've given up at least one power play goal.
Well, so, that one was 3 in a row at the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And so the penalty goals sucked.
Yeah, and it's been rough over the past, you know, I guess month, because you go back to even before the pause, and it was rough, and we were just outscoring our problems like we did today. So yes, it's a power play goal, but it's 1-1 at that point. Pavelski would answer about 3 minutes later. He gets his 14th of the year from Heiskanen and Suter. So Heiskanen is still very quietly showing up on the assist side of the score sheet. Although I'd like to see him get more goals along with the rest of Dallas Stars fans. And then Ryan Suter also gets his 12th of the year. So also him being very quiet, adding to the score sheet. So Pavelski, again, defies father time. It's amazing. Him and it seems like him and Ovi both have just skyrocketed. It's been amazing for the two of those guys.
In a league that's all about speed and skill, those two guys somehow remain on top. Doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, and really youth on top of that too. Honestly, this league is much more youthful than it used to be. It would continue on, and then this would end the first period with the trifecta of the first line, each of them getting a goal. Robertson gets his 13th of the year, literally about 2 minutes after Pavelski. It's from Henson Pavelski. And it's 3-1 Stars going into the first intermission, and the Stars also get their own power play goal of their own, and they're sixth in the league with their power play. How's the power play been looking?
Good. Yeah, that one was on the 5-on-3 again, and it took them all of like less than 10 seconds to put it into the net. And that move by Robertson was just dirty. He just undressed Grubauer. It was no chance.
So typically with expansion teams, the reason why they could be successful in their first season is because of goaltending. And they thought they were getting that with Philip Grubauer, but that obviously hasn't been the case this year. And that's been one of the big reasons why the Kraken have been so bad, is just because their goaltending has not lived up to what they were expecting to get from, you know, Grubauer and Driedger. You know, and you know, both of those guys are not bad.
I told you it was gonna suck. I'm a genius.
Yep. So I don't know about that. I actually agreed with that. Oh my gosh.
But you already said yep.
So there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people now. Dadgummit, Chris. There's a lot of people now that are actually saying that the whole Philip Grubauer and being a Vezina finalist last year was a complete fluke.
Yeah, me.
Are they?
That guy's me.
So you totally still agree with that, Chris? You don't think that Philip Grubauer is a good goaltender?
I mean, he's a good goaltender. He's a starter, but he wasn't anywhere close to a Vezina candidate. He wasn't even a Vezina candidate last year. He had a good season last year. He did not have a Vezina season.
And, you know, sometimes we look at the wrong stats. And the hockey guy actually had a video that he looks at a very specific advanced stat. And, you know, he doesn't really do a ton of advanced stats. But I think it's like goals above expected save percentage over 60 minutes or something like that. I'm probably totally butchering that. But it's got both of those guys for Seattle at the bottom of the league. So it's a perfect example as to why the Seattle Kraken have not been good this year. So anyways, we go into the second period. And it was a beautiful setup by Jared McCann or by Jordan Eberle, excuse me. Jared McCann gets his 15th of the year, about five and a half minutes into the second period. And it's also from Vince Dunn, formerly of the St. Louis Blues. St. Louis Blues, screw y'all. And it's 3-2, and it's a one-goal game, even though I felt like at that point we had pretty much dominated the game.
Yeah. I
started getting really nervous because, this is like my panic mode coming in from the end of last game. Just
Dallas Stars version.
Yeah, we're just gonna lose this game somehow. Like we were gonna find a way to lose.
Yeah, and it was a good pass, but I mean, it should never get through the crease. Like it was in the crease a long time, so somebody's got to stop that. Whether it's Ottinger or a defender or somebody, put a stick in the lane, please.
Yeah, and we'll talk about Ottinger here a little bit later too. He had a rough, you know. I wouldn't say rough. It was average first half of the game, and the second half of the game, he was fantastic. So, anyways, Pavelski would later on, towards the end of the period, there's about a minute and a half left. He gets his 15th of the year. He's on Hattie watch. He gets it from Lindell. Lindell with a fantastic pass. Although I felt like for me that was kind of like the pass you were talking about, Chris. That pass should have never gotten through Seattle defense. I don't care what team you are. You're an NHL team. That sort of pass should never get through. But Pavelski taps it in.
Yeah, it was fully telegraphed. It should have been stopped as soon as it left Lindell's tape. But, you know, we'll take it. I mean, and that was part of what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, too, is like the Kraken are obviously not as skilled as the Stars. Like, it's just a worse team. It's a different level.
The NFL playoffs are here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is kicking things off with a huge offer. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any wildcard team to win their game. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team is victorious. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you still have something to play for this wildcard weekend. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code THPN, and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code THPN this wild card weekend at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years of age or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And let me talk about that for a second because, you know, throughout the whole game, and I felt like this, I felt very comfortable for the most part. So, James, I actually didn't feel, you know, panicked. Because, maybe because I knew that Seattle wasn't a very good team and I didn't think they would be able to do something like that, pull something off. But I would love to feel like this, you know, feel confident in the fact that we're going to get the win despite, you know, only having a one goal lead against all of these teams. How do we get to that point? Is it just watching the Stars get that sort of experience and watching them do that? Or what do the Stars need to do to get to that point to where they feel comfortable against really good teams, like throw Colorado and Toronto up there? How do we get to that point?
I don't think you get to that point against good teams. I mean, I think that's why they're good teams, because when they get chances, they take advantage of them. The reason we don't feel nervous whenever the Kraken get a chance like that is because they're not known to take advantage of those chances like that and to take that momentum and push it to another goal. They just don't do it, but the good teams do. So I don't think you'll ever feel comfortable against a good team. If you do, they're probably not a good team, or you're just way better than them. So...
Well, maybe comfortable is the wrong word. Maybe confident is the right word. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Still not.
I guess I just if you're confident against a team where they just scored a goal on you and took you down to a one goal lead, you don't think very highly of the other team. And I don't think I'm ever gonna feel that way against the Lightning or against Toronto or whatever.
Right. So, Stars go into the third period. It is a 4-2 lead. It's a 2-goal lead. I still feel confident about, you know, about this team going into the third period and that they'll pull out the win. And obviously they would. But generally in the second and third period, I felt like that the Stars kind of relaxed a little bit too much. And there were too many offensive opportunities for the Seattle Kraken in the second and third period compared to the first period. Did y'all feel the same way?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the Stars obviously slowed down, and I mean, I didn't like it at all, but I mean, I guess they had the lead and they were just going to take it and take it home against a inferior team, which sure, but I wish they'd keep more pressure whenever we just take the lead like that.
Right, and I wouldn't leave up the pressure if you're the Stars, because we obviously like to go turtle mode activated whenever we get a one-goal lead even. And you know, maybe that was part of the problem with the St. Louis game as well. We got the one and only goal. Despite the circumstances and everything, we should have kept pushing for another one. But anyways, we'd get into the third period and not really much happens. There's still chances both ways. It's still fun hockey to watch. It was still a good game. But as far as offense, there was nothing in this period until you get to the end. Hakanpää finally gets his first goal as a Dallas Star with the empty netter from Roope Hintz and Joe Pavelski. So they're just padding their stats with another assist. And the Stars win the game 5-2 tonight.
Yep, it was solid win against an inferior team. I mean, only one line really showed up. I mean, the Minutemen kind of controlled the game from start to finish. Two lines for the Stars were especially bad, I thought, tonight. They did not play well against the Kraken's top lines when it was the checking line, and the fourth line didn't look good either. I mean, it was Kara coming back after a long break and Rhett Gardner, who hasn't played an NHL game this year, so it's to be expected. But, I mean, it wasn't even really usable, and you could see that in the stats. That fourth line only got about 6 minutes of ice time. So,
yeah, and the Minutemen gets they account for 10 of the 14 points on the night. So
that's stupid.
Yeah, they were on fire tonight, and they just do their work at home, and they just destroy any team that comes in.
Yeah, and Pavelski alone has 5 points.
Yeah.
That's insane. Pavelski is going to be our point leader by far. He's on pace to get, like, 50 or 60 points this year.
Dude is 37.
Yeah, as our oldest.
30.
Second oldest. Player. Is he our oldest? How old is Suter?
I don't think he's not older than Pavelski. Pavelski's older. I think Pavelski is 37 and Suter is 36.
That's a good time to bring in that YouTube comment right there, in my opinion, because I want to talk about that.
So I was actually fixing to do that. So we both called it. So Ardell, he's a really good, loyal listener to the show. He throws up his own little comment here on YouTube. He asks, is there any doubt we re-sign Pavelski? And I think at the beginning of the season, you could probably say, if you had to give a percentage, maybe 40% we re-sign him. But has that percentage gone up since the beginning of the season and maybe even since last season?
I mean, maybe, but, like, he's 37 now?
Yeah.
Like, how much hockey does he have left? I mean, if we're being honest, we're already saddled with Ben and Sagan.
Well, okay. Well,
is he
going to
want
cares?
More than a 1 year? If he wants a 1 year deal, absolutely.
Perfect. Yeah.
Give him what he wants and we'll take him for a year. If he wants a 4 year deal and he wants to play till he's 41, yikes.
Well, I mean, I would have said that if he continued to play like he did the first year for his whole contract. But when, you know, we were looking at that contract when he was signed and we were like, I mean, we didn't expect him to score 38 goals like he did in his last year in San Jose, but we still expected something from him, and we didn't get much from him that first year. And then COVID shut everything down. And then ever since then, he has been one of the Stars' top offensive players. And I think he's the perfect complement to those two young guys in Hintz and Robertson. And my thing is that if you take Joe Pavelski out of that equation, who do you put in his spot? Radulov?
Well, you're hoping that Peterson or Gurianov sits in that spot.
Exactly. And that's what I was about to get into, because if we're going to talk about the future of the team, Joe Pavelski is definitely not the future of the team. I mean, that's pretty obvious. So sooner or later, we're going to have to find somebody to fill that spot. So do we want to be stuck with a four-year contract with a guy who's going to be playing until he's 41 and really crap the team out in 3 to 4 years, or do we want to see if we can retool rather than rebuild? Because if we sign Pavelski to 4 years and he doesn't keep doing what he's doing, it's going to be a rebuild when we have Ben Sagan and Pavelski stuck on those contracts until then.
Now, I don't expect that he's going to demand a 4 year deal. I think maybe at most he demands a 3. And I think, and I know as crazy as it sounds, and you know, Sam Morales on the Riley Tufte group in Facebook is probably yelling at me right now, but I might even give him 3 years. That would be a stretch, but at most I would feel comfortable with 2 years. But if he's looking for a 4 year deal, there's no way that I'm re-signing him. But I would love for him to come back just because he's been one of our best players. He really, really, truly has. And as
well,
much
he is
as
our
we
best
like
player right now, let's not undersell it. He's our best player.
And he was our best player last season too.
Yeah.
So, okay. So let's say a 1 or 2 year deal. How much does he get AAV? Cause he's
however,
making
however
seven
much
right
he
now.
Wants.
He's making seven right now. And,
we'll
he's definitely
again.
Worth that.
Yeah. We'll give him seven again.
So, Okay, and then this is kind of another follow-up question to that. This is Brandon Perkins from Facebook. Hey, Brandon, thank you for listening to the show. We need to re-sign Pavs before Klinger. I talked a little bit about Klinger in the last podcast kind of by myself, and Brandon is saying, change my mind. Agree, disagree, what do y'all think?
I'm not going to change your mind. I think Klinger's crazy for wanting as much term as he's asking for right now. I mean, we already have Ben and Sagan who were stuck with contracts that were way too long. And I mean, Sagan's, I don't think was too long. He just has fallen off a cliff. Ben's is definitely too long. And with no movement clauses that we're stuck with now. I mean, that if we didn't have those contracts stuck on our cap, we could retool this team really quickly around Henson, Robertson, and Gurry, and we could be right back up into the playoff picture as soon as those older guys are gone. But in about three or four years, we're going to be a bad hockey team.
Now, I'm convinced with the first line potential of Hintz and Robertson, obviously. Gurry, I'm still a little worried about. And he's shown flashes of brilliance, like he has before he got into COVID protocol today, where he had, you know, he's had what did you say, James? Like 6 points in two games or something like that? Something insane.
Three or four games.
Right. Something insane like that. But he is such a hot and cold player. And the thing about this league is that if you're going to be part of a core like this, you have to be consistent, which is why Miro Heiskanen is our best player. Okay. Pavelski may be our best offensive player, but Miro Heiskanen is our best all-around player because despite the fact that he's not scoring goals, he still finds a way to contribute offensively with assists, and he's also doing it on the defensive side of the puck.
That's true for Gurry, but even if he's not producing super well, he's still a top six guy no matter what. Like he's a top six player, no doubt, in the NHL.
Yeah, now that I definitely will agree with. He should definitely be given top 6 minutes.
There's that top line because I don't honestly think he fits well with that top line. They need a guy who's sees Joe the Pavelski. Ice well.
Joe Pavelski. Joe
Pavelski. You need a guy who sees the ice well and is good net front presence, and that's Joe Pavelski. So, yes.
So I guess we haven't really all three sat and talked about Klinger, and we'll probably finish it up on this, but let's just go ahead and talk about Klinger for a second. So the rumor is that he wants 8 years, so the max deal you can get from a team, and he wants about $8 million, which is just a little less than what Miro Heiskanen is making. I think Miro is making like 8.2 or something like that, just a shade over 8. So, Chris, you said it was a little bit insane to expect that term, and I think it's a little bit insane to expect that money. But, James, what do you think about that idea, that contract? It's not a matter of does he deserve it, because I think he probably does because of what he's done for the Stars, but it's can the Stars afford that?
If we didn't still have Ben and Sagan on this team, taking up as much cap space as they already are, he might end up getting that. But we also got to think, like, we're going to have to start saving that space for, like, Hintz and Robertson as well. They're going to want more money as soon as they get the chance to resign. So $8 million, a little much. I honestly don't think the term's that bad. It will be bad if he drops off a cliff. I fully understand that, but
well he's going to be playing until he's 38. I mean, you've seen the Riley Tufty fan page. As soon as players hit 35, they fall off a cliff. So you're saying hopefully he doesn't fall off a cliff. He will. Like from what we've seen,
unless
from
you're
other
Joe Pavelski or Alexander Ovechkin,
they are the exception. They are not.
They're
the rule.
Exception.
The rule says when you hit 35, you fall off a cliff. And for him to expect the Stars to pay him $8 million a year for 3 years when he's not going to be producing this well and he's already not the best defenseman on our team, like, arguably, he's not the top two.
I definitely think $8 million is, like, too much on the contract for the ask. If you're going to ask for 8 years like that, like, it's too much.
So if you're Jim Nill, what do you give him? But what do you offer him? Do you offer him the full 8 years and maybe for a lesser cap hit? So, I mean, you don't want to lowball him and make him completely mad. So maybe like somewhere around six, something like that.
He deserves $8 million a year, I think, but not when he's 36 and 37. So I'd say you offer him 5 years at $8 million.
I think he mostly just wants the stability and the fact that he's going to be in the same place. And again, I'll say it for you, Chris, we cannot add a no movement clause to this contract.
Well,
okay, no matter what
it.
We want to do.
If you're going to get a term that long, then you're going to get a no movement clause.
And the problem is I feel terrible about this because he has been a staple on the Dallas Stars blue line for so long. And when he signed that deal with Jim Neal, when he had his breakout year and he just came out of nowhere and just exploded on the scene and it was amazing offensively and defensively. He signed a $4.5 million AAV deal. It was like 5 years, I think. And that was a steal, absolute steal. One of the best value contracts in the NHL for him. So now he's looking to get paid and I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. I just don't think he's going to get it with the Stars, which makes me really sad. And we should also follow this up with the fact that, you know, Klinger wants to stay in Dallas. It's not like he wants to go anywhere else. He's come out and said, no, the whole I want to trade thing is not true. I don't want to trade. I want to stay here. But he understands the business and the fact that him and his agent and Jim Neal are not all on the same page, which really sucks because I really want to see him here.
Yeah, and I mean, that's true. But I mean, already he's not producing as much as he did in the beginning of his career. I mean, right now, this season, he has one goal. Yeah, he has a lot of assists, but I mean, he's supposed to be a goal scorer, to be honest. As a defenseman, that's what he's paid to do. That's what he's supposed to do. And he hasn't been doing that at all, really. So he's not making the case for it right now on the ice.
Okay, guys, I think we're going to cut it off. We could talk longer about this, but it's getting late and we need to call it quits tonight. Anything else you want to mention about anything, any other news? Oh, by the way, Ben Bishop was actually excellent on the broadcast tonight. He did a great job, and so did Sevy in filling in for Razor. So we love Razor. We hope he comes back, but Sevy did a great job, and so did Bishop. So we should point that out too. So, and I really think he has a future in broadcasting, you know, Ben Bishop. He's a really likable guy. I think he's good looking. Amanda says so. But
yeah, he is a beautiful man.
But anyways, is there anything else you guys want to mention before we call it quits tonight?
Kraken suck.
We got the back-to-back Friday, Saturday against the Florida teams. Got the Panthers first. So we're losing one of those games. Hopefully we can come out with one.
Oh, no.
We're wishful thinking right now. But we are like 7-2 against like top 10 teams, which is like crazy.
And yet we lose to freaking teams like freaking Ottawa.
On
we
the
lost
road.
Two games. Ottawa.
We are the worst team on the road.
Yep. That's it.
And we'll talk more about that later on and how we need to be able to turn this around on the road because they got to figure something out. And they need to figure out how their offense translates from home to away. And I don't
know.
But
the Kraken on the road.
We are.
They have a better road record than us.
And that's really bad.
This team that we just played.
And we, you know, pretty much defeated very well, too. So, okay, guys. Anyways, this has been Starcastic Remarks. This is the AGR for Game 33. Thank you guys for tuning in. We hope that you guys will go and use the promo code THPN for the DraftKings app. That lets them know that we're the ones that sent you. We appreciate their sponsorship of not just our show, but the entire Hockey Podcast Network. And we will be back with you guys again on Friday night. It's a little bit of an early game. It's a 6 p.m. start. And we will catch you guys on the flip side. And we hope you guys have a wonderful, fantastic evening, morning, whenever you listen to this. Night, guys.